Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Really excited about this next hour here on the show. We've only done this one time before. We got Shannon Terry from 24/7 Sports in studio. Shannon was here with us. We had a full day of broadcasts on every show from our studio downstairs, performance studio, with a live studio audience, and got into a really good discussion with Shannon. And one thing I love about any time I get a chance to talk with Shannon is that it can go a number of different directions, and you can talk about a lot of different things. So that's what I plan to do here for the next hour. Shannon Terry, founder of Rivals, founder of 24/7 Sports. That's where he is right now, working with CBS Sports as well. He's in studio with us. Shannon, thanks so much for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Chad, glad to be here today.
Absolutely. So we're going to get a lot into your background, but we were just talking about Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee football and sort of where that program is right now and Jeremy Pruitt's mindset. I know that you know Jeremy Pruitt a little bit. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the fit with him at Tennessee and sort of what Tennessee really needs right now?
Sure. You know, I'm biased to a degree. I'm you know, really good friends with Kirby, know Jeremy, you know, reasonably well. You know, admittedly, obviously, I'm an Alabama fan and also a Tennessee fan, you know, and so I want the program to do well. I'm a big fan of both of those coaches, you know, for different reasons. I think that Jeremy is going to do really well at Tennessee. There's really kind of three key points, I think, to being a great college coach, and he's got two of them, and so you know, he's a terrific recruiter. He's going to do real well. There's obviously some challenges at recruiting at Tennessee, you know, when some of the boundary states are strong. You know, when Alabama's strong, it's harder. When Georgia's strong, it's harder. Florida schools, Ohio State, especially. But Jeremy Pruitt is a terrific one-on-one recruiter. He'll get in, he'll roll up his sleeves. He'll do what's necessary. There's nothing, you know, he's not afraid to, you know, to establish and maintain those relationships and work it as Kirby. He's a hell of a football coach. He knows football, and he plays a style that will recruit well at Tennessee. You know, as far as the administrative, the CEO, you know, tempering his passion, you know, all those types of things, you know, some of the, you know, I heard some of the remarks from the SEC media days. The way I look at it is this. I don't know how old he is. You said 43.
I think he's 43.
Yeah, 43. Dan Crockett, you know, who Franklin American Mortgage runs the bowl here, big Tennessee fan. We talk about it all the time. And we had many discussions about Lane Kiffin and Butch and you know, Pruitt. Here's the way he looks at it. And I completely agree. What's the ceiling of maturation? What's the ceiling of learning for these guys? You know, do they take these experiences? Do they build on them? Do they not make the same mistake twice? Do they continue to get better? You know, Butch never showed that. You know, Saban wasn't Saban early on. I mean, it takes a time. You can't compare to those guys. He's just seen so much. I think that Pruitt, I think he's going to, you know, evolve and learn from those situations. You know, and if he can control, you know, some of his kryptonite, you know, in the early stages and you know, and live to see the ninth inning, I think he's going to do real well in Knoxville.
Would the kryptonite just be that emotional response to things at times, being an emotional guy?
Absolutely. Greatest, you know, I played basketball here in town for our Coach Meyer, and, you know, he coined the phrase, you know, greatest strength, greatest weakness. And so the thing that makes Jeremy Pruitt, you know, such a strong candidate to do well in this position is something you'll have to guard against. I mean, that passion, you know, that being in the moment, you know, and the way I look at it, you know, Tennessee fans, they have to have reasonable expectations. And, you know, he's got to play chess, not checkers. And, you know, one of the things, he'll get good advice from, you know, Coach Fulmer and Coach Fulmer's wife. And, you know, and I think that's going to help him. And you know, I don't know how well his relationship is with, you know, with Saban these days. And, you know, but there's a good circle of coaches that I know Jeremy leans on. He'll get, you know, there'll be a lot of people in his ear.
Well, and to me, there's a lot to be said about, and I've discussed this a lot with Butch Jones, having and knowing your own identity and knowing who you are. And this is for any organization, and we can break this off into what you're doing with 24/7 Sports and any brand that you have, but knowing exactly who you are. And you oversee a lot of separate brands within that, brands that cover specific programs, specific leagues, specific pro teams, whatever that entity may be. And to me, that's something that Jeremy Pruitt possesses. I don't know how good of a head coach he's going to be. I'm never going to say that, you know, that this guy's the next Nick Saban or Bill Belichick. But to me, Jeremy Pruitt knows exactly who he is, and he knows exactly the type of player he wants and how he wants to go about it. When you're looking at any organization out there, how important is that? Because if you have an identity crisis, I don't know how you recover from that, especially in big-time sports.
Yeah, he's authentic. And, you know, and that's, you know, when I build companies in the past and look for, you know, executive leadership teams, you know, the one thing I want is I want people that are authentic, that, you know, I don't mind getting cussed out. I don't mind people disagreeing with me. I don't mind those things, but I can't manage moving targets. And I think Jeremy, he's an authentic person. And, you know, Kirby, same way. I mean, those guys, you know what you get on the front end, and it's real easy to work with people like that.
You know, you mentioned authentic, and you discussed you're from Woodville, Alabama, originally. You're an Alabama fan, and you say that, and I appreciate that. I for one, love that. I can't stand, to me, it's so disingenuous when you hear people that talk on the radio or go about doing anything, and they don't acknowledge where they're from. We're all from somewhere, right? I mean, I'm a Tennessee fan. I'm a Tennessee grad. I'll acknowledge that. I'll also acknowledge I'm trying to be as impartial as possible when I'm on the air and give you my honest opinion, whether Tennessee's good or bad or whoever else they're playing or whatever's going on. But there's something to be said about authenticity in media and saying exactly where you're from and where you're trying to go. Do you find that with your brands? Because you're running a lot of different brands that cover specific teams. I think it's important to know what they're trying to accomplish when you're doing that and you're covering a specific team for a specific clientele.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I mean, you know, we've probably hired 1,500 people over the years, and, you know, a large number of those are writers, and I always ask them, who are you a fan of? And, you know, where's your passion? And, you know, there's a large group of people, I don't really like anyone.
I don't like anyone.
Yeah, and, you know, a red flag goes off. Now, we don't need people that are cheering in the press room. You know, there's a level there where you lose objectivity, but no, I mean, I've always, you know, I've taken so much grief over the years for admitting, you know, that I was an Alabama fan, you know, the Bama bump and the recruiting rankings and all those types of things. But I mean, I don't care. You know, I know at the end of the day, you know, the integrity that I bring to our business and the leadership staff that we have, I don't really care, you know, what anyone says.
But don't you prefer if you're reading someone or like,
tell me who you are.
I don't talk to you and think that you're coming across as at any point biased towards Alabama, but I also like to know that you're from Alabama and you like Alabama. I'd like to know that about people. I don't think that's anything wrong if someone just admits where they're from.
Well, you know, one of the things that scares me a little bit with the media now, and I'm seeing a lot more in broadcast than I am, I'm seeing a lot of pretty people in suits that I, you know, and I was talking to Barton Simmons about it this week. You know, we were just kind of doing an autopsy of a lot of the, and I'm not obviously going to name any names. And I just don't know that the research is being done. You know, I don't know that, you know, a lot of the people that are on TV right now are out, you know, they're having a quick meeting with a coach or a coach, but I don't know that they're living it. I don't know that they're in there, that they really have their fingers on the pulse like a lot of the old school journalists and people, you know, are doing. And I think just, you know, listening to, you know, some of the coverage of SEC Media Days, you know, I saw a lot of surface stuff. And one of the things that 24/7 Sports prides itself on is we have a lot of local reporters. We spend a lot of time, you know, talking to these coaches and talking to players. And, you know, we know these players at early ages. We've known these coaches, you know, when they were GAs. And so I think what we can deliver, and I'm not seeing a lot of it right now, especially with broadcast media, are these perspectives and analysis from just, you know, knowing the whole story. And that's something that we pride ourselves on and something that, you know, we're committed to really spending more. As 24/7 goes forward, you know, we really want to be that local team-based brand, you know, and start bubbling up these local reporters because I think there's a place for them right now.
So, Shannon, take us back. You grew up on a farm. You obviously know what hard work is all about. Played college basketball under legendary Don Meyer. Now, is this still holding up right now? You are a part of 4 years that had the most wins in the history of college basketball at 145-16. Has anyone surpassed that since your playing days?
Yeah, I don't think anyone can because we played so many games. So, you know,
that's still pretty impressive.
Yeah. So part of, we didn't lose. We didn't lose.
How much? I want to start with that. Just that experience under Don Meyer. You know, we were. We had this discussion earlier this week about underrated and overrated Nashville sports figures, and you actually made the list of underrated. Someone called in with Don Meyer as underrated, and I said absolutely underrated, but we were looking since 1998, so obviously didn't factor in that time period. But the biggest takeaway, if you had to take one thing of all the bullet point items of all everything that Don Meyer taught you, what was the biggest takeaway from him?
Preparation. So, you know, Coach Meyer was a great game coach, but, you know, I wouldn't go down and say he's, you know, he was the best I've ever seen, you know, in the moment. But what he was is it didn't matter if it was, you know, coming to this radio interview today, he would have been prepared and he would have been on time and he had a plan for it. And what I learned from Coach was there really wasn't a delineation between a Monday morning practice or walkthrough and then playing Belmont or a rivalry game. He was just as passionate, just as prepared for either of the two. And that's not normal. You know, most people need, you know, they need the hype, they need the noise, they need, he didn't. And so what I always tried to do in, you know, building these businesses, you know, it's 20-something years now, is I was always going to be prepared and I was always going to, you know, try to, you know, be months, years ahead in the preparation and the plan of what we were trying to build from a strategy. And what that does is it keeps you from always chasing the fad of the day. It keeps you from, you know, your emotions driving you in directions that maybe you shouldn't go in at that time.
When you've done this now for as long as you have, though, how difficult is it to fight the urge of knowing that, hey, I am prepared for this, and to sort of slow down on the preparation? Because you could go into a lot of situations that you've encountered 1,000 times before and probably get the sense that I don't really need to prepare for this. So how do you fight that as someone who does this every day?
I'm just not wired that way. I mean, you know, I have moments in a year where I try to like unplug, you know, but, you know, my problem is I probably spend too much time thinking and planning. You know, and probably everyone's like, hey, yeah, I don't have any hobbies. I'm boring, you know, but I'm trying to fix that.
When you started this, and we'll go back to the founding of Rivals, just that idea of starting a network where you're going to go intensive on individual teams and recruiting. Recruiting was covered before that, but I feel like this was really the birth of something different. That's now led you to 24/7 Sports also. And what you're doing there is also something different where you started. What was that initial seed of an idea that you knew this could be something big?
There were a couple of factors. The first thing was, you know, this was back in 96 and the first iteration was Alliance Sports. It was very clear to me that at the time that the internet was about to be an unbelievable distribution platform for content. I really didn't think of it from a commerce standpoint at that time. The second thing is I didn't think papers were doing that good of a job. You know, I was in Nashville. I was an Alabama fan. I was trying to keep up with what was going on. And then, you know, those next few years I saw papers not, you know, they were downsizing. And so the first strategy was we just want to cover the team. We want to do it at a local level, but we needed a hook. You know, at that point in time, I'd call SIDs, give us media credentials. Well, you've got to have a radio show. You've got to have a magazine. I'd be like, no, we'll reach more people with what we're doing. You know, so that was a constant fist fight. And so the strategy, we went back in the lab and we said, okay, we're going to focus as heavy as we can on recruiting. You know, recruiting, a lot of people think of it as high school sports. It's actually college sports. It's a season of college sports. And then we will start, you know, heavy in these data products and these rankings. And then we'll convince mainstream media to source us. And by sourcing us, you know, they'll build our brand. And what people are actually coming for, you know, 365 for the most part, was our coverage of the teams supplemented with recruiting throughout the year. And so even though, you know, for a decade or two, we were known as a recruiting company, you know, we were at Rivals, we were a $30 million a year business and revenue and highly profitable. You couldn't make that kind of money on recruiting. It's because people wanted to know about their team. We let that happen.
How has the process, now that it's grown and recruiting now starts as people talking about seventh graders and eighth graders and things like that? I know when I'm broadcasting high school games, I've got their parents coming up to me constantly. With what you do and with what 24/7 does, at least on the recruiting side of things, mm-hmm. How do you keep that from becoming a problem where the parents are actually reaching out to try and get more for all of their kids?
It's a great point. You know, and I'm looking back, sometimes you make good decisions and you don't even realize it until later. We never got in the game ever where we were a recruiting brand in that we worked with parents, we sold services to kids. We've never, in all my years in this business, I've never worked with parents or kids or taking a dollar from them. And I'm very proud of that. And I'm not saying that to disrespect the people that do it. It just wasn't my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't really work with the parents. We don't, you know, we're not trying to take little Johnny and get him attention or get him notoriety. That's not what we're about. What we're about is trying to list and rank the alpha dogs, the next first round draft picks. And you know, what's our secret sauce? I've said it 100 times and no one really... You know, we do have good scouts, but what we're really great at is knowing which college assistants are really good at recruiting certain positions. And then we bank their feedback. I mean, we know which coaches are great at corners. And so we call them. Who are you recruiting? Tell us what you like about this player. And then we build that database of information. Then we just take a model. You know, there's 32 first rounders. X number come from Florida each year. You know, X number come from Georgia statistically. X number of quarterbacks. X are, you know, our defensive tackles. And we sanity check the data, you know, around that, and we go with it. And then we do the eye test. You know, we have, you know, 20 or 30 scouts that, you know, that are former football players that are really good at what they do. And because of that, when you go look at, you know, the rankings that we've put out over the years, they're phenomenal.
And Barton Simmons, who's a buddy of mine also, I think he does a great job of striking that balance. You mentioned taking the feedback from assistant coaches, exactly, who coach certain positions really well and recruit them well. But I noticed Barton, I like to follow him and read his work, because he'll always have nuggets on a bunch of guys that he's surprised aren't getting bigger offers, that he loves when he watches them in games or loves when he watches them at camp. And finding those guys has to be important for you also, that can go and spot the guy that may only have a Wake Forest offer, but Barton can spot them and say, this guy's going to be a really good player in college football.
I encourage those guys to do that. And I think, you know, that one of my greatest frustrations in recruiting has been, you know, back when it was ESPN, Scout, you know, which Scout went bankrupt and we bought those assets, Rivals and 24/7, is that the commonality of a player ranking used to drive me nuts. You know, you'd look at the list, and I always, the businesses that I ran, encouraged our scouts to just don't look at the other services. You know, come up with your own opinions, do your own research, because what I hate is, you know, you click on a player, you know, and one service has him ranked 23rd in America, and the other has him 27, the other has him 20, and one has 31. That's BS. I mean, come on. You know, do your own. There's no way this player mathematically can... it's that accurate. So, you know, there's a lot of pieces to it.
And it's crazy to me too, because a lot of times when you have that approach, you'll see a guy who's, you know, ranked, I think of Trey Smith as an example. Trey Smith, I believe, was ranked number one or close to the top in the state by you guys, but other publications had him way down the list. Then someone else may, when you have those differences,
I love that.
people automatically, though, assume, oh, this is because this guy camped at their camp and not their camp, or they've got something against this team that he's committed to, or whatever it may be. But I guess in your role, how do you sort of knock that out of people that write for you, where you try to eliminate a lot of those bias of where guys camp and what's going on with them?
Well, the thing that we did to I think, eliminate basically all the bias a few years ago, we came up with the 24/7 composite, you know, which we built a linear-based algorithm that takes all the rankings into it to impact. And there's two beautiful things of it. It allows, you know, I always felt that we weren't good enough on the West Coast. And it just had a lot, you know, we were heavy, Southern-based and Big Ten. We weren't strong enough, and it was just more of a function. We just couldn't get the people hired. It wasn't that we didn't want to be, you know, but the composite allowed us to bring, you know, data in from a lot of scouts and analysts from the West Coast, which really, you know, made our product really good. And the second thing I love about it, it's a linear-based model. So we can look at where kids rank from a historical perspective. You know, how does Julio Jones, you know, rank with, you know, Calvin Ridley, you know, which didn't play together and from different years. So
really enjoying this discussion, and it's kind of going all over the place, which I knew would end up happening, which I love. Shannon Terry is the founder and CEO of 24/7 Sports. And Shannon, with that, you have a lot to do with CBS Sports now also on the digital side of it. If you're trying to like describe all the baskets of everything that you do and what you're looking at every day, can you sort of sum up what that is and what that looks like?
It's craziness. You know, CBSSports.com has made a great run over the past couple years. I mean, upon acquiring 24/7 Sports, you know, and the leadership of Jeff Gurtula, they're a clear number two, according to most of the third party rankings now. And they've done that, you know, really around video and around, you know, their coverage of the NFL. And so, you know, I'm excited to be a part of that. I think what 24/7 Sports brings them, you know, again, is this localized team-based depth of coverage, this community, you know, this endemic play that I think this endemic audience, this passionate audience, this community, you know, is going to be the piece that drives media in general over the next 10 years. These last 10 years have been about distribution partners, have been about, you know, Comscore ratings and how much Facebook traffic could you get, how much Google traffic could you get. And so you saw a lot of brands emerge out of that because it was distribution before editorial. These next 10 years are going to be, you know, a perfect union between, you know, editorial and distribution. And that's only going to happen for the big brands, the premium brands. So because of that, CBS Sports is incredibly well positioned to do well.
We've got a topic coming up about something old that will be new again. We see these things cycle out. We're always looking on the horizon for what's in the future of sports or whatever it may be. You talked about the video piece of it with CBS Sports. That seems to be key right now. If you can get a good 30-second video of something, people will go and watch that. People will watch, I know you've talked about bolts before that you'd have, just little paragraph or two stories about something. People want to consume media that way. Is there still a place for long-form journalism? These are things I still like to read when done the right way, or is that going the way of the dodo bird and people just simply don't want that anymore?
No, there's absolutely a place for it. You know, and I think the challenge for publishers is going to be, you know, determining how to balance long form with commodity news, with breaking news, you know, with community and with structured data products. And so, you know, I don't know that there is a right or wrong answer. It's just the greatest challenge probably in digital media right now is that the display advertising market, you know, has pretty much moved completely to an exchange, to an exchange marketplace. Okay. And so for the most part, you know, the last 3 to 4 or 5 years, we've seen a huge rise in video and, you know, the dreaded autoplay, you know, desktop autoplay with sound that you get. Well, the reason is all of the direct sales now are basically only at the video level. And so, you know, and so publishers have to pay the bills. So circling back to your comment about long form good stuff requires a lot of money. You know, a long form written by an untalented person is a death sentence. You know, long form by the right person is something that there's a place for. So how do you balance that ecosystem as a publisher? You got it good. It's going to be a challenge.
It's so difficult. And you talked about 450 employees, I think you said, for 24/7 sports, and looking out for what you're doing every day, but also thinking about those 450 employees with every decision that you make. You know, it's difficult to assign to get the right Thompson flying to Japan to interview Ichiro in a long form story. How you justify things like that and expenses, to me, is just, it's such a crazy jigsaw puzzle of how you balance these things. Something that you want to read, you think a lot of people want to read or they want to see, but yet how do you justify, okay, we're going to spend this much money to send you here to do this? How do you go about making decisions like that? Is it a case-by-case basis, or is it just sort of a gut reaction you have to something or an idea?
You know, we're more of a, you know, if you broke down the businesses that I've been a part of the last, we're not really a long-form company. We are an analysis company. And so the way we look at it is we take a market, for example, Tennessee. What we want to do is we want to bring the Tennessee fan, you know, everything that's happening around Tennessee football to the point where when that news breaks, you know, they're expecting it. They kind of know what's happening. And so we want to set up the experience for the user. Hopefully we have a seat at the table and that we break our share of the news. Now we're you know, there's so many media companies, it's impossible to own the news. We want to have our seat at the table. And then shortly after news breaks, we want to support that news with intelligent analysis, for the user. And so that's what our experience is all about.
You know, the balance of that, and we've had this discussion about Vanderbilt football in the stadium, you know, the chicken or the egg. Vanderbilt needs a new football stadium, but you'll get the argument from some people saying, well, they need a good product first, then they can have the football stadium. Well, I would argue the product could be better if you could sell recruits and better players on a better experience with a better football stadium. If you're looking at all these different teams that you cover at 24/7 Sports, I know you have the high-performing sites and the sites that need to be a little bit better. How do you balance support for those different sites? If you're going to, I believe you guys do very well with Ohio State, let's say for instance, if they're doing well, they're rocking and rolling, giving them the support and what they need while also trying to pick up someone else. I think this is something that's key in the radio business with companies that own a lot of different stations, some that do well, some that don't. And I'm sure it's something you face every day also.
Sure. I mean, you know, we're a database business, and for us, it's fairly simple. But it's incredibly complicated at the same time. We ask ourselves these two questions. The first question is what's the market opportunity? You know, how large is that market? And then the second thing, can we be number one or two in that market from a coverage and community perspective? And that includes newspapers, you know, TV, national, and everything. And so we identify those two things. And if the feedback is good, then we put a lot of money into it. And it's real simple. I mean, we have a margin for each market, a profit margin that we try to make, and then we heavily invest everything beyond that into improving the product. And so why is our Wake Forest coverage not as good as our Ohio State coverage? Well, you know, I think I just answered that question. And so, you know, again, we don't make any bones about it. I mean, we've got our markets. You know, there's about 45 to 50 markets that we spend a fortune, small fortune in, that we will continue, you know, that drives the overall brand. And then each year, you know, we try to incubate, you know, a few new into that group. And sometimes we win and sometimes we don't.
There's a lot of good media, and then there's a lot of not so good media mm-hmm. out there. As somebody that's been on the cutting edge that saw the internet as what it could be beforehand, what do you look at right now in media and just say, what are they doing in terms of procedures, not necessarily calling out companies, but things that you say is like, that's got to go if you actually want to make money doing this or to earn the credibility back in some cases?
You know, look, there's a company out there right now that, you know, we recruit talent against that, you know, here. So I'm sitting down with a, you know, hotshot reporter, you know, he's 34 or 5 years old. I'm just giving generalities here. And so here's my recruiting pitch. Okay, you can come be a part, you know, of a company in 24/7 Sports that's, you know, got a chance to do $100 million in revenue and, you know, in the next 4 or 5 years, that's already past 50, that's highly profitable, that has community, that has, you know, revenue, a three-prong revenue through transaction, subscription, advertising, commerce, you know, but you're going to have to work hard. You know, you're going to have to break news. You're going to have to support that news. You're going to have to work with your users. You're going to have to answer questions. You're going to have to do video. You're going to have to travel. And then that sales pitch I have to work against is, well, here's what we want you to do. We want you to write 3 long-form articles a week. And that's all you're going to have to do. And, you know, we don't win some of those. And so I don't see how some of these businesses that are all, you know, that don't own anything, that don't produce a lot of content or a lot of experience, are going to be able to make it.
Shannon Terry's with 24/7 Sports, founder and CEO, in studio with us for another segment. We've mentioned a couple times, Shannon, the newspaper business. You grew up with newspapers. I grew up with newspapers. Do you feel like you could help a newspaper out there survive in the current climate, the way things are right now?
I mean, of course. It's a difficult world right now. But, you know, some of the newspapers are doing a good job. I mean, you look at AL.com, you know, they really do a terrific job in their coverage of Alabama and Auburn and just things in general. But it's tough for papers, because, you know, over the last decade and a half or whatever, the leadership, you know, the publishers, the editors, you know, had such a long run in that space, and they just weren't disruptive enough, or, you know, they didn't know what was going on in the digital world, and it really put them behind the eight ball.
Advice for people out there trying to get into this business, or people that you're hiring right now. I feel like for the last 10 years, all you hear from people is, you better be able to do everything. You better be able to be on camera, write, do everything else. And I'm starting to hear, though, a little bit more of, but you better be really good at something. We talked about authenticity and knowing who you are and having an identity. You better be really good at this, but you also better be able to do everything. What are you looking for specifically? That jack of all trades that can do a little bit of everything? Or are you looking for that one person who does something really well?
If you're going to be in media, if you're young, and here, it's real simple advice: own something, you know, try to be number one in something. Don't be a jack of all trades. Maybe, you know, at one time we were hiring jack of all trades. That was 15 years ago, you know, when we needed people that had a lot of different skill sets, you know, to produce a product. Right now, you know, if you want to make a good living, you know, as a reporter, you know, someone, you know, that's forward facing, you need to own a story, own a beat, own something better than everyone else. And then don't fall into this world of being like everyone else. You know, I no disrespect meant to people, but I sat there, you know, for 3 days and listened to many of the questions at SEC Media Days, you know, from a lot of these young guys. And I'm like, come on. Step up, ask something.
Talk about your secondary and that new hire you got there. A lot of talk about it at SEC.
A lot of talk about it.
I'm just, you know, it kind of, you know, someone who, you know, who I really want people to do well. I mean, this industry's been great for me and my family, you know, but I was so disappointed. People, step up. You know, these coaches, Nick Saban, you know, has done a wonderful thing, but he owes you respect. So look him in the eye when you get in those and ask him a good question. And we're not seeing enough of that. And I didn't see hardly any of that, you know, on the broadcast that I watched. I didn't go. I usually go to those things. So stand up, you know, be firm.
Is that one of your biggest pet peeves right now in sports media and how it's handled? The lack of a voice, but also, as you just said, stepping up and saying something or doing something.
Yeah. Be prepared, you know, do your research. Know the question, you know, don't just go read, you know, the surface stuff. You know, you lost a defensive end. How are you going to replace him? You know, know your stuff, and then ask firm, direct questions, you know, and don't let these coaches, you know, walk you down, you know, and we've seen so many, you know, the Belichicks and all these, you know, create this identity. Stand up to them. I mean, you know, this is your profession. you know, you have that right, and go earn that respect. And I think what we see is we see the opposite. And I know, look, I get it. It's hard until you cut your teeth, you know, to stand up. But, you know, I'm not seeing a lot of that. And that doesn't mean being a jerk. That doesn't mean being disrespectful for these people. It means being fair and firm and prepared.
One of my pet peeves in any bit of media that's out there is, like you said, the surface level. Everyone is talking about this. Well, we have to talk about this because everyone's talking about it. I get that. That's business. You have to cover it. But can you peel back the onion a little bit more? If you've got a topic, well, let's ask a specific question in regards to that topic and not just throw out the basic topic and say, here's the phone number. Let's get specific on things. Kind of what you're saying, Shannon, about asking specific direct questions.
Do your research. I mean, I hired a guy recently to lead a significant division of my business, you know, in the first week in the office. And, you know, thought you think you vet these things, you think you're prepared. You know, he didn't know who Barton Simmons and Evan Daniels were. And I'm sitting to myself going, uh-oh, I just messed up. But, you know, how can this person not know Barton Simmons, who is phenomenal at what he does, blends recruiting and team coverage, and you got Evan Daniels, who I think is maybe the best college basketball analyst that there is. Hey, you don't know who those two guys are?
Well, two local guys, too.
Two local guys that, you know, you're going to be working with. At that point in time, I didn't hear a single thing, you know. So you got to do the work. Got to do the work.
It's amazing to me, you know, we first impressions and one takeaway from someone. I asked you about your one takeaway 4 years with Don Meyer, who's a legendary coach, but you had the one big takeaway. I think sometimes it can get lost with people in any business. If you give someone in power that one big takeaway, and that one big takeaway is something like that, how negatively that can affect your career. Either not being prepared with something or not knowing who someone is, and how that sticks with people at times. And I'm sure that's the case with you also when you encounter some people who want a job or who want to work in this business.
You know, absolutely. I mean, we interview a lot of people, and, you know, my advice to the young kids out of college, you know, you need to spend hours upon hours upon hours researching any company you're going to interview. You know, it's not about knowing the answers. It's about knowing which questions to ask. And, you know, that's my big piece of advice for anyone trying to get into this field.
Shannon Terry, we could spend hours and hours and hours doing this also. This is always a lot of fun and very interesting every time Shannon joins us. He is the founder and CEO of 24/7 Sports. Shannon, really appreciate you taking some time on a Friday to come in and join us. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity.